Welcome to NFP for Life with Dr. Les and Betty Ruppersberger.
You need to be able to educate yourself to understand what the Catholic Church teaches.
We need to understand our gifts and our abilities, and it's really about fertility awareness and responsible parenthood.
Dr. Ruppersberger is a board-certified OBGYN with an NFP-only practice in Langhorne, Pennsylvania. He and his wife, Betty, are both certified natural family planning instructors for the Family Life Office of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia.
God so wanted us to know the meaning and purpose of existence that he built it right into us.
A chaste lifestyle means joy and freedom.
If we promote it and promote it effectively, we will change the way people think about natural family planning.
It's a new journey in our faith.
And now, here are your hosts, Dr. Les and Betty Ruppersberger.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters in Christ, and welcome to our program, NFP for Life. I'm Dr. Les Ruppersberger, and I'm here with my lovely wife, Betty Ruppersberger. Betty?
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to NFP for Life.
And as always, Betty will open with a prayer.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is a prayer to Our Lady of Guadalupe. We turn to you, who are protectress of unborn children, and ask that you intercede for us, so that we may be firmly resolved to join you in protecting all human life. Let our prayers be united to your perpetual motherly intercession on behalf of those whose lives are threatened, to be they in the womb of their mother, on the bed of infirmity, or in the later years of their lives. May our prayers be coupled with peaceful action, which witnesses to the goodness and dignity of all human life, so that our firmness of purpose may give courage to those who are fearful and bring light to those who are blinded by sin. Encourage those who will be involved in the march for life. Help them to walk closely with God to give voice to the cry of the oppressed in order to remind our nation of its commitment to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness for all people. O Virgin Mother of God, present our petitions to you, your Son, and to ask to bless us with abundant life. We ask all these things through your Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We felt that that was an appropriate opening prayer because the theme of today's program is the March for Life. And as Betty and I, as we usually do, we're discussing various options for topics for the program. This came up because it is happening next Friday, a week from today, January 25th, 2013, in Washington, D.C. And we wondered how many people actually knew what the March for Life was, how it started, a little bit about its history, a little bit about how many people actually attend, what actually goes on during the March for Life, its purpose, and what we'd like to do is invite anyone who's ever been on a March for Life to give us a call. Let us know whether or not you've been on the march, whether or not you've taken your children, what your experience was, if you have any stories to share with us, what your impact was, if any impact at all on your life, and any observations that you have about the march. So our number is 215-345-1570, and that is out of 1570 AM here at Holy Spirit Radio in Doylestown, or 1420 AM in Coatesville. We welcome your call. This is a live radio call-in program, and we'd like to have you call in and share with us a little bit about your experiences, if any, or if you have any questions about what's involved with the March for Life. We'd welcome that phone call also. So let's talk a little bit about what the March for Life is.
The March for Life, and it's coming up, I hope it's a little warmer than it is today, is an annual pro-life rally protesting abortion, and it's held in Washington, D.C., and this year it's going to be held on January 25th, next Friday. And usually it's always on January 22nd. but this year, because of the inauguration, it was moved to January 25th. And so it's usually on or around that date of the United States Supreme Court's decision legalizing abortion in the case of Roe v. Wade. The march is organized by the March for Life Education and Defense Fund, and the overall goal of the march is to overturn Roe v. Wade. And it typically draws about 250,000 attendees each year. The march has consistently drawn 250,000 people each year since 2003, and estimates put the 2011 attendance at 400,000. And I can believe that because I've been there for many years, and the attendance seems to be climbing.
So this march is essentially people from all around the area close to Washington, D.C., who get in their cars, get in their buses. Some of the buses are arranged as group trips that go from parishes or go from centralized locations where people will drive their cars and make arrangements to go down on the bus. Just as an example, as you may have heard us mention many times in the past, that Betty and I are parishioners at St. Ignatius in Yardley. We've had a bus every year leave from our parking lot. We precede the departure with a mass where people that are on the bus can attend mass and receive the sacraments. We get on the bus. We have some refreshments. People pack their breakfasts and their lunches, and we pray on the bus, we chat on the bus, we have some discussions of different factoids, if you will, about what's going on in the pro-life movement that may come from the National Catholic Register, our Sunday Visitor, different websites, different people's experiences. We quite frequently have children on our bus, some as young as infants that have to be pushed around in strollers, some as old as people in their 70s who join us for the march. It's a three-hour ride normally down to Washington, D.C. We do stop for what we call a pit stop on the turnpike on the way down, and we meet at the mall, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later, and then we march. And so this is a protest. So any of you wannabe hippies who never had an opportunity to protest back in the 60s or the 70s or the
80s. You don't need to be a hippie to do this.
You don't need to be a hippie. I said a wannabe hippie that have never been protesting. This is a fundamental right that we'll get into talking about a little bit, the right to life that is guaranteed to everyone in the Constitution. And nine justices on the Supreme Court, and we'll talk a little bit about that later also, gave this right to change the Constitution and to change the law, which has been the law of the land. And this year particularly is the 40-year anniversary of Roe v. Wade. You heard Betty mention that it was passed by the Supreme Court in the United States on January 22nd, 1973. And so since that time, we've had over 55 million surgical abortions. That's 55 million children in the womb that have been killed, terminated, exterminated, eliminated, pick a word, that do not exist, that were deprived of their right to exist by decisions that have been relativized as reasons that go from convenience to health to medical to psychological to birth defects to whatever. But the law of the land in all 50 states is now to permit and allow these procedures to be going on. And so the best number and the best count and the best estimate that we have is over 55 million surgical abortions, because we average somewhere in the neighborhood of 1.2 to 1.4 million per year. Almost 4,000 every day. There will be several hundred in this 1 hour that we're on this program here on Catholic Radio. So these people take time out of their schedules, take their families with them. We have mothers with their children. This year on our bus from St. Ignatius, we're going to have 12 eighth graders join us. And they've been given permission by the principal and their parents and the pastor to take the day off from school to go march. And we will be showing a movie on the bus on the way down. We show pro-life and very G-rated movies, obviously. After our prayer, we say a couple of decades of the rosary. And so it's a very holy, very faith-filled, prayer-filled day. The buses come from as far west from here as Indiana, Ohio, Missouri, Mississippi, Louisiana. They drive sometimes through the night, sometimes 17, 18 hours. There are a lot of people that stay in hotel rooms overnight. They come the day before. There are activities that we'll talk about that occur during the entire week that take place starting next Thursday, Friday, and into Saturday. But the march itself is on Saturday. And there's also a...
No, Friday.
Friday, I'm sorry. And there's also a West Coast version in San Francisco of a March for Life. And then there are virtual marches for life in states where people can't make it, that they go online and march. And so we're going to get in to talk a little bit more about the march, but that's kind of just an overview of one parish's bus trip in March. Our bus is subsidized by the Knights of Columbus and our Respect Life Committee. There is a nominal fee that we charge people just for paying the bus company and getting the refreshments and providing some beverages and some breakfast bars and things like that. We usually leave Washington, D.C. around 4 o'clock, and we get back into the Yardley area around 7 p.m. at night. So it's a long day. Some days it's pretty cold. Some days it's pretty windy. Some days it's pretty wet.
Last year it was rainy.
Some days it's pretty snowy. Some days it's nice. So we don't know what the weather is going to be like next Friday, but everybody dresses appropriately and accordingly, and they carry banners. And we pray while we march, and we march down Constitution Avenue from 4th Street, and we end up the march at the steps of the Supreme Court to have another rally and another prayerful protest that's all in peace.
We don't bother anybody.
Yeah,
I just want, for those of you who have never been on the march, I just want you to know that it's nothing radical. It's a joyful gathering, but serious gathering. But we're not militant, angry people. We are there to just show that we care, and we care about life. And there are many age groups. There's nothing to be intimidated about, because it's very safe to be there. There's a lot of police presence, and there's nothing, you know, bad going on. There's no fighting or street protesting or anything like that. So it's really a very, very peaceful rally. And they call it the March for Life, and we're all protesting. And I can honestly say that I don't think the word protesting is really the word. It's the witness for life. And every year that I attend, you know, beautiful things happen and occur. And last year, we had a special one of our marchers was special last year, and it was a friend of ours. Her and her son came, and the young man that came, his name was Dan, and he's a special needs, has Down syndrome, and he was so delightful. He led our bus in the rosary, and his witness was a big impact on me, marching for life, and for those around him. It was quite unique. So every year there's a different story. You see different people. But most fascinating to me is that every year that I attend, there's more and more and more younger people. So I want you to think about giving us a call and sharing your story with us. And we're here at Holy Spirit Radio. 1420 and also 1570 AM. And give us a call at 215-345-1570. If you've ever attended a march or you'd like to attend, or maybe you're unable to attend and maybe there's something special that your parish does or your group of Catholic friends do during this day when people are at the march. I know in our parish, and I think in St. Bede's Parish, they have some special events. So if you belong to St. Bede's, I want you to call and tell us what your special event is, or any parish out there. Call us and let us know what your special event is on that day, and share it with everyone, because those of us who go on the march, we want to know that we're being backed up by prayer or any special activity.
Also, many of the people that attend the march, they have huge banners from where they come from. They have names of high schools. They have names of colleges. They have names of seminaries. We see a phenomenal number of seminarians, especially Franciscans for the Renewal, Father Groeschel's group from New York. And these guys, they walk on the march in sandals with bare feet.
Some of them have socks, but not all.
In the snow and in the rain. I don't know how they do that. I got my boots and my waterproof gear on and everything else.
Well,
but
also I'm noticing, too, every year there's more and more young religious sisters. So the Sisters for Life are always there. And it really is quite remarkable to see all these young sisters for life, too.
There are also other banners that include signs that say, "We choose life, end abortion now, your mom chose life." A lot of times people sing little chants that kind of rhyme, and they make them up, especially the kids as they go along, the youth groups from different parishes. And you'll see parishes that say, you know, like the youth group from St. Pius the X from Indiana. And you know, these kids drove on a bus for maybe 17 hours and got there, and they're all just hyped up and pumped up, and they're marching and they're carrying their signs. Other signs that say, "Give life, don't take it. Defend life. Women deserve better than abortion. Michigan loves our pro-life president. Respect life. Diocese of Pittsburgh. Abortion kills. Stop unborn child abuse. Equal rights for unborn women." Many sing and chant praises such as "Pro-choice, that's a lie," "Babies never choose to die," all kinds of things. And it may sound, you know, out of context, maybe a little harsh in certain ways, but the reality is that these are young people, middle-aged people, old people from every walk of life, from every aspect that you can possibly imagine, that are there to show up and say, you know, "We don't agree with this. We don't agree with this law. We don't agree with this Supreme Court ruling. That's not what our Constitution talks about. That's not what our Constitution says." So the proceedings for the March for Life, they begin around noon. So most people, like our bus, leaves at 8 o'clock, so we'll get there around 11:30 with the pit stop on the way down. There's a rally that occurs at the National Mall at 4th Street. And then after about an hour to an hour and a half's worth of talks, and speeches, and we'll tell you about who some of the speakers have been in the past, we start marching down Constitution Avenue Northwest, and we turn right at First Street and end the march after about maybe 2 hours on the steps of the Supreme Court of the United States, where another small rally is held. Many protesters start the day off. They get there a little bit earlier in the morning by delivering roses and lobbying members of Congress. And they'll actually contact their congressional leaders ahead of time, make sure that they're in town and in their offices, and they'll make appointments where they'll show up in small groups of 15 or 20 over a series of a couple of hours in the morning before the rally starts, and they'll meet with their congressional congressmen, leaders, or senators. And they'll go in and they'll tell them, "This is how we feel. This is why we're here. You know, I made the trip. I came 3 hours from Yardley. I drove, 6 hours from Connecticut. I drove 17 hours from Indiana or Ohio or wherever it happened to be. And I want to let you know that you're my representative in Congress, and that this is what I want you to do to represent me. I want you to represent life. And I want you to vote on bills that promote life. And I want you to work to overturn this ruling of the Supreme Court that has been in place for over 40 years, that is an egregious ruling that is against our constitutional right to life.
So since 2003, the March for Life has consistently brought in around 250 attendees, as we said earlier.
250,000.
I'm sorry, 250,000. Oh, how could I get that number wrong? 250,000. And certainly is, because why, you know, since I've been there, I've seen it. Approximately 5,000 participated in the march in 1987, despite a major snowstorm. And many teenagers and college students march each year. And they're typically traveling with churches and youth groups. And they estimate about half of the marchers are under the age of 30. And I think it's quite remarkable. And these young people are serious about this cause. So please pray to God that this gets turned around in our lifetime anyway. Some notable speakers at the rally, which is held in front of the Capitol, have included President George W. Bush, Alveda King, the niece of Martin Luther King, and the parents of Terry Schindler Schiavo. And there's always typically several members of Congress there to speak. So before we march in the park, they have a huge stage, they have bands, music, and they have speakers. And, you know, these are some of the major speakers that we've had in the past. Ronald Reagan was also known to deliver a telephone address to the marchers. And it also, every year, includes speakers like Representative Chris Smith, the Republican of New Jersey, and Randolph Terry, the founder of Operation Rescue. And in Terry's speech each year, he targets the youth in the audience, calling to them that the fight for all you're worth. So at the 36th annual march in 2009, approximately 20 congressmen spoke. How amazing if we could get more congressmen on board for this. They talked about the challenges pro-life advocates face under the Obama administration. And specific speakers at the 36th annual included Representative James Sentebrenner of Wisconsin, and former House Chairman of the he's a Republican and the former House Chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, and President Obama was even asked by Nellie Gray to speak at the 36th annual march, but he didn't attend. And Nellie Gray, Les is going to speak a little bit about her. She's the woman that founded these, that began these marches, and her history. And again, if you're out there and you're listening, give us a call. Let us know you're there. 215-345-1570. And let's speak about this topic and give us some input about it. 215-345-1570.
And it wouldn't be any discussion about the March for Life without mentioning Nellie Gray. Unfortunately, Nellie passed away in August of this past year, 2012, at the age of 88. But she was there every year marching in all of her glory, all bundled up, and she would open the rally with a speech after a prayer invocation by an invited priest or minister or rabbi, many of whom attend every year also. This is not just Catholics who go to this rally. It's people from all walks of life, from everywhere, from every religion, from every nationality, from every ethnicity, every age, as I said, from infants all the way up to people as old as Nellie, who are physically able to make the walk. In her footsteps, Jean Monahan has taken over run the Education and Defense Fund for Life that sponsors the rally, and they invite the keynote speakers every year, make all the arrangements with the Washington, D.C. police. Many people park their cars in RFK Stadium. Washington has an amazingly easy-to-use and very clean and very safe metro system. As Betty mentioned, there are literally hundreds, if not thousands, I can't even tell you how many police are present, but they block off all the streets that cut through Constitution Avenue during the march, starting at around 1 or 1:30, so that all the traffic around Washington, D.C. is diverted. And so there is an accommodation of respect, and there is an accommodation of law that's allowed through the permits that are obtained by people like Nelly that allow us to walk safely and peacefully. And I'm telling you, we're from one sidewalk to the other sidewalk and the entire street. And if you ever walked up the hill before you come to the Supreme Court building on Constitution Avenue and you turn around and look back, all you can see is a sea of literally hundreds of thousands of people that are all walking very calmly, very peacefully, some praying, some chanting, some singing, and it is just a very exuberant, very peaceful, very prayerful representation of our American right to be able to lobby and protest against what we all feel, the people that go there, is an unjust law. I personally would like to see 1 million people show up. Years ago in Washington, they had the Million Man March, and they had 1 million people show up marching for that particular cause. And I know that currently more than half of the people that are polled in the United States now with different polls that are taken do support life compared to people that call themselves pro-choice. So if you take half of people in the United States, you're looking at, you know, literally hundreds of millions. So this 250,000, although it sounds like a large number, is just a drop in the bucket of the people that are actually, you know, maybe protesting. But of course, unfortunately, the media coverage that we get, you don't see too much on any of the mainstream channels. They will not be mentioned here, but if you look at Philadelphia channels, it's not on the 6 o'clock, it's not on the 11 o'clock, it's not on the 10 o'clock news. If it does hit the papers, it's not on the front page, it's on, you know, the back sections. And what they'll say is, oh, tens of thousands of people showed up, or thousands of people showed up.
Yeah, more like thousands.
But they won't show an aerial photograph of the people on the streets. There are selective photography that's exercised with this. And but we don't do it to get media. We don't do it to get press. It would be nice to get that kind of attention. But now with Facebook and some of the other media outlets that are available, there can be a way that we can get recognition, and I'd like to see 1 million likes. I'd like to see somebody put up a blog of supporting life and the March for Life, and say, I like this, and I'd like to see 1 million people click on like. You don't even have to do a comment or anything, and see what we could generate as far as support is concerned. There are various pro-life organizations that hold associated events both before and after the march. There's a Luau for Life at Georgetown University. There is a candlelight vigil at the Supreme Court. And then the March for Life Education and Defense Fund hosts a dinner every year, and the dinner this year will be the event for the Rose for Life dinner. It'll be the 31st annual Rose dinner, which will be held next Friday evening, January 25th, at the Hyatt Regency in Washington on Capitol Hill, with a 6 p.m. social hour and a 7 p.m. opening prayer and dinner. It's $85 for a ticket when you purchase online, $100 at the door. And this will celebrate and recall the march from that particular day. I'll have some well-known keynote speakers. Last year, Archbishop Chaput was there. And I don't know who the keynote speakers will be this year, but you can probably go online and check out that particular event. There are also several masses.
Several masses celebrated at the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception, as well as the Verizon Center in Chinatown. And the Catholic Archdiocese of Washington hosts a youth rally and a mass every year at the Verizon Center. And it's usually attended by approximately 20,000 young people, where a message from the Pope is relayed. So that's pretty awesome that our Pope has something to say while we're marching in the U.S.
And then in 2009, the Apostolic Nuncio to the United States, Archbishop Pietro Sambri, read Pope Benedict XVI's message, which told attendants that he was deeply grateful for the youth's outstanding annual witness to the Gospel for Life. In 2008, the Pope's message thanked the attendants for promoting respect for the dignity and the inalienable rights of every human being. And in 2011, a parallel event to the Verizon Center event was held at the D.C. Armory with over 27,000 young people who attended these events. At the same time, the Students for Life of America, the largest association of pro-life groups or clubs on college campuses, holds an annual conference for pro-life youth on the week of the march, generally the Saturday after the 22nd, which would be next Saturday. And attendance at this conference has exploded in recent years, according to the president of the Students for Life Association. And they had an attendance of over 400 in 2007, and they had 1,200 in 2010 and 1,800 in 2011. So praise be to God, we are getting more and more attendance and more youth that are attending. This came online just this afternoon. Cardinal O'Malley from the USCCB, the United States Catholic Conference of Bishops, called for an immediate release, called for prayer and penance to mark Roe v. Wade anniversary. And I'll just read this to you because it was just brought in by Dale Meyer, who was our program director here, and this came online across his computer. That the chairman of the United States Bishops Committee on Pro-Life Activities calls on all Catholics to participate in 9 days of prayer, penance, and pilgrimage from January 19th to January 27th. So today's January 18th, so this novena, this 9 days of prayer, will start tomorrow, and it will go through the next 9 days until next Sunday, January 27th, 2 days after the march, that will mark the 40th anniversary of this Supreme Court's Roe v. Wade decision. And our nation greatly needs our prayers and our personal sacrifices, said Cardinal Sean O'Malley of Boston. The evil of abortion continues to afflict unimaginable pain, but Jesus offers us healing and renewal. The full text of Cardinal O'Malley's statement is available online, and you can read that at the USCCB website. But just summarizing, as I mentioned, 55 million children never had the chance to be born, and as part of the ongoing response to innocent children's lives being taken with the protection of the law, the USCCB has launched a major pastoral initiative calling for prayer and penance. And they ask all people to join in this novena for healing and conversion of our nation. It's available through social media, text messaging, and email, so the USCCB is getting hip with social media and starting to promote this. And novena, we are in great need of prayer and personal sacrifice because of the evil of abortion, and it's the hope of the bishops that this novena and defense of human life and religious freedom and this witness to the dignity of each and every human person, our compassionate service and our prayers calling for the infinite love and mercy of God to spark a renewal of love and commitment to the true good of others. Only a love that seeks to serve those most in need, whatever the personal cost to ourselves, is strong enough to overcome a culture of death and build a civilization worthy of human beings created in God's image and likeness. So please go online to the USCCB website and access the information on this 9 days of prayer and personal sacrifice and maybe some fasting. Many of you may have decided as part of one of your New Year's resolutions that you would continue to fast in that big weight loss thing that everybody wants to do. So fasting over the next 9 days, you can offer that up as a personal sacrifice and maybe at the same time lose a couple of ounces and a couple of inches around your waist. So we can combine. There's always things that you can find as reasons that you can combine what you're doing. So as Betty mentioned previously, we are live to call in at 215-345-1570. If you've ever been on a march, call us and let us know. Just tell us you were on the march. If you've ever been on a march and you've had a personal experience that was positive, give us a call and let us know. If you have an observation about the march, call us and let us know. If you're listening to us live and you haven't thought about going on the march, but now you're thinking about it, we have 15 seats available on our bus going down to D.C. from St. Ignatius next Friday. Give us a call, let us know. If you don't have the money and you can't afford it, then we'll make arrangements for you to be able to go on scholarship. So the more people that show up and the more we fill our bus and the more prayer that we have and the more personal sacrifice that we have, the better it is. There are many Respect Life committees in many, many parishes. We know that there's a bus leaving from St. John the Evangelist in Lower Makefield, our bus. We know that there's usually one or two buses from St. Andrew's. We know that there's usually a bus from St. Bede's Respect Life, St. Vincent de Paul in Richboro. They're just the ones off the top of my head that I know of that have buses going down every year.
And the high schools. I know that Nazareth Academy and Villa Joseph Marie and Bishop Egan, all the high schools usually have a bus also. And amazing, it's just amazing to see all these young people, but also these young priests. We were talking about For Life organizations. A lot of colleges, Catholic colleges, have pro-life groups and Villanovans for Life. And someone just told me that they have a group, even at the seminary, Seminarians for Life. And I think that was a little amusing because they're all for life, but this is just an extra activity that they do. But almost every college has some organization for life, and all those organizations show up at the March for Life. And as a mature person, it makes my heart feel good that we have so many caring people in this world that care about life. It's quite amazing.
Betty's going to mention a couple of the other events that are ongoing for next week and where they'll be. So if you're interested, you can see that this has a wide array of attraction for many different things for many different people.
We already spoke about the Rose Dinner, which will be held on January 25th at 7. It starts at 6 p.m. And the tickets are available for that, and there's a limited number at the door. So if you're interested in going to that, if you're going to be in D.C., there's also a youth rally, which will be held the day before, Thursday, January 24th, in the Regency Ballroom of the Hyatt Regency Hotel. And that rally will be from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m., and a speaker scheduled and additional information is posted at this website. There's no cost to participate. And the website is standtrue.com. The Law of Life Summit will be held on Thursday, January 24th at the Hyatt Regency from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. And it's presented by the Ave Maria School of Law in cooperation with the March for Life and for their Education and Defense Fund. And there's no cost to participate, but space is limited. You do need to register for this Law of Life Summit. And the website is lawlife.org. A youth rally Mass for Life sponsored by the Archdiocese of Washington is Friday, January 25th. And You can go online to youthrallyandmassforlife.org. And then March for Life Convention. It's in the March for Life Exhibit Hall, and the Exhibit Hall will be located on the lower lobby level of the Hyatt Regency, and the hours of operation are 12 p.m. to 9 p.m. on Thursday, January 24th, and from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m., and approximately 3 p.m. following the march until 6 p.m. on Friday, January 25th. Again, there's many tour buses, and, you know, you probably have your buses arranged by your parishes. But there's a new event this year, the March for Life 5K Run, and it's going to be held 8 a.m. on Saturday, January 26, 2013, in the West Potomac Park in Washington, D.C., and the event is hosted by the National Life Runners Team. And you can check that out and any other related events at marchforlife.org. And there's also messages online. You can download all these messages and forms and things like that. If you want to check in, check out this March for Life. Go on to marchforlife.org, and you can get a tremendous amount of information if you want to give it to your school or your parish or whatever. But, you know, I was waiting for somebody to call in, and I think it's so wonderful. The last couple years at St. Bede's School, they do a March for Life at the school, and they march around the school area during the day, I guess around their lunch hour. And their pastor, Father John Marine, leads them for their little March for Life. And I know that St. Ignatius in our Adoration Chapel have people praying for the March for Life, those that can't attend. We also have a special Mass at 6:30 in the morning.
7:15.
Oh, okay. It's at 7:15 a.m. at St. Ignatius. And it's for anybody going on the march, but anyone can attend 7:15 Mass at St. Ignatius before we get on the buses for the march. So there's a lot of activities. If you're unable to go, you can even put on EWTN or Holy Spirit Radio, and there's going to be a lot of special activities. EWTN televises the march, so you'll get an idea of what's going on down there in Washington, D.C. also.
So a little more about how this all got started. Back in October of 73, grassroots pro-life leaders became concerned that the January 22, 1974 might come and go without properly memorializing the Supreme Court's infamous abortion decision and without petitioning Congress for redress. No established right-to-life organization was prepared to undertake the planning, financial, and operational responsibilities for a high-impact pro-life march on the U.S. Capitol. But grassroots pro-lifers wanted to march. So about 30 pro-life veterans resolved themselves into a committee and began making plans for the first March for Life. And this was led by Nellie Gray. On January 22, 1974, the very first March for Life was held on the west steps of the Capitol, and about 20,000 committed pro-life Americans rallied that day on behalf of our pre-born brothers and sisters. In 1974, the March for Life was incorporated as a not-for-profit, non-partisan, non-sectarian organization. Our numbers have gradually risen throughout the years, despite reduced numbers from the snow in 2000, the terrible 9/11 attack, the 9/11 attacks just months before the March 2002 march, and these growing numbers give testimony to the increasing ranks of pro-life Americans and the importance of the march's work. And Betty's going to give you an idea of those numbers.
Let's start with 1974. In 1974, the first year of the march, there were 20,000 marchers. And then in 1975, it jumped up to 50,000. And in 76, 65,000. Amazing. It just keeps growing and growing. And then from 1977 to 1998, it was a solid 100,000 marchers. The 25th of March in 1998, there were 225,000 marchers. And then in March of 99, the March of 99, not the month of 99, month of March, there were 125,000. In 2000, there were 100,000. And then in 2001, again, it jumps to 225,000. In the March of 2002 was 100,000. And then from 2003 to 2007, 200,000.
And as Betty mentioned earlier, since then it's been over 250,000. They estimated 300,000 last year, and they're hoping for about the same number this year.
Right. So come and join us on this march. It's quite a joyful day, even though we have a strong purpose. Everyone united for life is there, and it just gives you great hope that, you know, we're not alone. We're not crazy pro-lifers that are being ridiculous. There are amazing, amazing people on this pro-life march that you will witness and realize that this is a major organization that cares about life. And I just am amazed that we can't get these laws changed.
So some things that you need to know. This is just not a bunch of people, as Betty mentioned, just hopping on a bus and taking a day off from work to just walk up and down the street. Knowing that no sound action can grow out of a vacuum of purpose, the March for Life organization formulated the following life principles as a comprehensive statement of the position motivating the pro-life movement. These life principles serve as the basis for pro-life moral and legal theory by which American people can overturn Roe v. Wade. So Betty and I are going to alternate back and forth on these 10 principles because we want to make sure that you're aware that there is some sound, legal, constitutional, moral, ethical, and foundational principles behind what these people are trying to say to the Congress and the legislative body of our government. The first one comes right from the preamble of the Constitution. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all human beings are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, among which is the right to life. And, therefore,
the right to life of each human being shall be preserved and protected by every human being in society and by the society as a whole. And
the life of each human being shall be preserved and protected from that human being's biological beginning when the father's sperm fertilizes the mother's ovum. And
the life of each human being shall be preserved and protected from the biological beginning throughout the natural continuum of that human life's being, that human being's life, by all available ordinary means and reasonable efforts.
And the life of each human being shall be preserved and protected at each stage of the life continuum to the same extent as each and every other stage, regardless of the state of health or the condition of dependency.
And the life of each human being shall be preserved and protected to the same extent as the life of each and every other human being, regardless of the state of health or condition of dependency.
And when there is any doubt that there exists a human being's life to preserve and protect, such doubt shall be resolved in favor of the existence of a human being.
And when two or more human beings are in a situation in which their lives are mutually endangered, all available ordinary means and reasonable efforts shall be used to preserve and protect the life of each and every human being so endangered.
Wherefore, pursuant to these principles, we recommend and urge the adoption of a mandatory human life amendment to the Constitution of the United States of America. And so this is what the march is all about. The march is all about getting an amendment to the Constitution that mandates these pro-life principles, these ethical and moral principles that are based and founded in the Constitution that were misinterpreted and exaggerated and stretched by 7 out of 9 Supreme Court justices back in 1973. Realizing that no sound action can grow out of a vacuum of purpose, in 1974, the March for Life formulated and included in its Charter of Incorporation the life principles, as we mentioned above. The life principles are not framed in the negative tone of thou shalt not, but are framed in the positive tone of duty and responsibility of each human being and of society. These life principles are set in the context of our Declaration of Independence, that the right to life is inalienable and endowed by our Creator. If this basic right is weakened, all other rights are meaningless. Basically, you know, the preamble says you have the right to life and liberty in the pursuit of happiness. Well, if you're not alive, then you're not going to be pursuing any happiness, and you're not, you know, you're not going to be free to do anything because you don't exist. You're not alive. So that right to life is the very primary first purpose and essence of all existence and all beinghood. They go on to say further that if this right is weakened, all other rights are meaningless, as disparagement of the value and the dignity of human beings will then permeate our society's mentality and the laws of our land contrary to the common good.
And I just received a press release. This is not about the march, but this just came over our fax, that Archbishop Chaput is performing honorary ringing of the bell, Liberty Bell, on Martin Luther King Day, which is Monday. And Archbishop Charles Chaput will be the honorary ringer of the Liberty Bell at the 28th National Bell Ringing Ceremony, marking Martin Luther King Day. The Archbishop will also lead all those gathered in prayer at the opening of the ceremony and offer brief remarks. And this is going to happen Monday, January 21st, 2013, at 11:15 a.m. The symbolic bell ringing will occur at 12 noon at the Liberty Bell Center at 6th and Market Street in Philadelphia. And the Philadelphia Martin Luther King Jr. Association for Nonviolence holds this event each year to preserve the memory and vision of Dr. King, as well as to promote freedom and justice for all people. It is traditionally marks the beginning of the Martin Luther King Day celebration in the city. So if you want more information on that, go to philadelphiamlk.org. And that event is going to occur January 21st, this Monday, at 11:15 a.m.
So you can see that next week is a big week. It's a big week for freedom. It's a big week for justice. It's a big week to stand up for life. It's a big week to stand up. Everybody that has ever sat home and thought to themselves, well, yeah, I'm pro-life. Yeah, I go with that. I can't afford to take a day off. I can't make that march. I can't walk a mile or two in the cold weather, or the rain, or snow, or whatever. I can't sit 3 hours on a bus. You can pray. You can email. You can text. You can go online. You can sign a petition. You can call your senators and your representatives at the White House and tell them that you want them to overturn Roe v. Wade. That's all you have to say. I just wanted to let so-and-so know that I'm one of their constituents. I live in their district, and I want them to overturn Roe v. Wade. This needs to be done. 55 million in the last 40 years. So as we wind down to the end of this program, unfortunately, we didn't get any phone calls, and I guess maybe people are busy on their way home, and they're obeying the law by not talking on the phone or, you know, whatever. But with the few minutes that we have left, I just want to emphasize to you that, you know, they overturned slavery. Slavery was a law of the land. And Martin Luther King stood for that freedom and civil rights back in 1964. He marched all over everywhere to establish the rights of the freedom that he fought for with civil rights. And this same march for the freedom of the lives of the unborn has been going on now for 40 years without any major consistent change in all of those laws and what's going on. So we just would encourage you that if you can provide some support to do that, but if you can't, to pray at least, say, a decade of the rosary starting on Monday, and certainly join in that novena that we had mentioned earlier that will be held, starting tomorrow. You can start praying that 9-day novena to pray for life. So it's certainly important for that, and you can find that information in those prayers at the USCCB website. We have 1 minute left to go. I want to thank you for listening to us here on Holy Spirit Radio. Betty will get the last few words, and then she will end with a special prayer.
I just want people to know that there are some wonderful pro-life organizations and people that are fighting for life to stop this horrific ordeal of abortion. So in those words, I just say thank you for listening, and be pro-life and be proud of it. So let's end with a prayer to end abortion. Lord God, I thank you for today, for the gift of my life, and for the lives of all my brothers and sisters. I know there is nothing that destroys more life than abortion, yet I rejoice that you have conquered death by the resurrection of your Son. I am ready to do my part in ending abortion. Today I commit myself never to be silent, never to be passive, never to be forgetful of the unborn. I commit myself to be active in the pro-life movement and to never stop defending life until all my brothers and sisters are protected. Our nation once again became a nation with liberty and justice, not just for some, but for all, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.